Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities, a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild.
Our world is full of the unexplainable. And if history is an open book, all of these amazing tales are right there on display, just waiting for us to explore. Welcome to the Cabinet of Curiosities.
We've all lost something at one point. It could have been our car keys or the remote to the television. Maybe it was an earring or a little bit of money left over from partying the night before. Oftentimes, the best course of action is to retrace our steps and hope that we stumble upon the missing item along the way. But every once in a while, something disappears completely and it can't be found, no matter how hard you look. And that is where Saint Fenorius comes in. Members of the Greek Orthodox Church who have lost something of importance may pray to Saint Fenorius, who will help them locate it. Little is known about Fenorius, including the time in which he lived. His name was discovered in 1500 AD by Hagarene soldiers who found the ruins of an old church on the island of Rhodes. After they had conquered the area, their leader ordered the men to rebuild the war-torn walls of the city. Several church icons, or religious artworks, were discovered on the floor, including an icon of Saint Fenorius. Amazingly, it still looked as fresh as the day it was painted, and around the icon were 12 illustrated tableaus depicting Fenorius's life. Several were violent in tone, including one where he was being whipped by soldiers and pelted with stones. But no matter how much torture he was put through, it seems that Fenorius came out victorious, with the last scene showing him standing among the flames, his hands raised in prayer. Sometime later, three young deacons from Crete were taken captive by the Hagarenes and brought to Rhodes. The deacons had gone to Kythera to be ordained, but now found themselves sold into slavery. They had been separated, with each priest held captive by a different master, but they all knew of Fenorius. Each priest prayed to him day and night to be released. In response to those prayers, Fenorius appeared before their captors and ordered that the priests be freed from their homes, or their masters would be punished. But his wishes were ignored, and those masters tortured the priests even further. So Saint Fenorius did the job himself. He broke the priests free from their shackles and told their masters one last time to let them go, or they would witness the power of God. Well, the next day, everyone living in the homes where the priests were being held woke up paralyzed, blind, and in immense pain. With no other recourse, they asked the priests what they needed to do to be healed, and the priests told them that they would pray for them. Saint Fenorius made one last plea to the captors to let the priests go, or they would never recover. By now, they had finally seen the light. The masters immediately released all three priests and eventually regained their sight and their health. And the priests? Well, they went back to their home on Crete, a copy of the icon of Saint Fenorius packed with them. Every year following their return, they held a feast of Saint Fenorius in his honor. Now, Fenorius's name means to reveal, and today he is prayed to whenever something is lost, be it a wallet, a house key, or a set of priests. And to help the discovery process along, people would often bake a special cake named after the saint called a Fenorapita. Some say that the cake is made in honor of his mother, who is said to be cruel toward him. She will forever be a lost soul that he was never able to save. The cake is spiced and not made with eggs or dairy, so it's considered vegan or Lenten. Though recipes vary, it's often prepared with olive oil, orange juice, cinnamon, and cloves. The number of ingredients is also important. The person baking it will usually mix in 7 or 9 components because those numbers are important to the Greek Orthodox Church. It's said that one desperate woman promised Saint Fenorius 13 cakes if he would help her find her lost dog. When the pooch eventually did turn up, the woman baked all 13 cakes just as promised. Another time, a mother baked a cake on behalf of each of her 4 children to help them find their future spouses. This belief in Fenorapida is real because those who bake it swear it works. And who's to say they're wrong? At the end of the day, though, one lesson is clear. belief is a curious thing, whether you're lost or found.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
One thing that most folks can agree on is that Benjamin Franklin had a brilliant mind. He was an essential figure in the foundation of our country, a driving force behind the American Enlightenment, and a leading scientist of his day. He was also, well, eccentric might be the best way to phrase it. Where to begin? The paper on farting seems like a good place to start. His essay, Fart Proudly, was written in 1781 when he was ambassador to France. There were also his infamous air baths, during which he sat naked in front of open windows to ward off sickness, and we've previously heard here about the 10 bodies in the basement of his London home that weren't discovered until 1998. Oh, and he made the fur hat popular among the French elite during his time there. French women even began donning large wigs they called coiffure à la Franklin. Oh, and Franklin was also one of the world's first storm chasers. The key and the kite might be one of Benjamin Franklin's most famous moments. Everyone has heard of it, although we're not totally sure how the experiment actually went down. Allegedly, on June 10th of 1752, Benjamin Franklin took a kite out into a storm to see if the metal key attached to the string would draw the lightning. One lucky strike later, and eureka. Of course, historians don't actually know the date, and it's very unlikely lightning actually struck the key, because if it had, the great Benjamin Franklin might not have lived to tell the tale. What we can assume is that the key picked up a charge from the storm, and the shock Franklin got from touching it helped confirm that lightning was a form of electricity that could be harnessed. What many don't realize, though, is that the key and the kites were part of a series of tests that Franklin was conducting. The electrical question had been floating around in his mind since at least 1745, and he was most concerned with what the power of electricity could be used for. Everything we take for granted today, from light to heat and more, lay ahead of him, and the possibilities were just too tempting. I'm not sure if any of our listeners work or have worked in the emergency room, but I'm sure they could confirm for me that during the holidays, the ER is extra crowded. With the 4th of July, it's usually fireworks mishaps. For Christmas, it's problems with decorations or slipping on ice. And with Thanksgiving, of course, it's cooking the turkey. Everyone seems to have a different opinion of the best way to do it. Some like to barbecue it, some grill it, some roast it in the oven, and I'm sure we've all seen the videos of folks trying to fry it in their driveways with mixed success. And did you know that Benjamin Franklin was extremely fond of turkeys? He firmly believed that they should be America's national bird, and even got into a fight with John Adams and Thomas Jefferson over the subject. Adams was all for the eagle, and Jefferson was for the dove. I'm sure you can all guess who won that round. And here's the crazy part. Franklin believed that his beloved electricity was in fact the best way to cook a turkey. In a 1749 letter to his friend Peter Collinson in London, Franklin explained that he was going to kill and cook a turkey for their dinner solely using electricity because it would make the meat uncommonly tender. Franklin used two Leyden jars for this experiment. These devices store static electricity between two electrodes on the inside and outside of the glass jar. And Franklin was very confident in his hypothesis. But when he touched the jars to the turkey to start cooking it, something else happened instead. Franklin got a jolt from the experiment, a strong one if the spectators are to be believed. It was bad enough that he shook violently and got knocked out. When his friends did manage to revive him, he didn't remember what had happened. He was sore for days and experienced intermittent numbness, but luckily none of the after effects were permanent. Based on another letter written to a friend, Franklin largely seems embarrassed about his mishap. When he wrote to his brother, he gave permission for him to share the story with a fellow scientist, but begged them both to keep quiet about it. Franklin never tried to repeat his experiment again, and whenever he made note of his calamitous dinner party, the moral of the story always boiled down to another time-honored nugget of wisdom. Don't try this at home.
I hope you've enjoyed today's guided tour of the Cabinet of Curiosities. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or learn more about the show by visiting curiositiespodcast.com. This show was created by me, Aaron Mankey, in partnership with How Stuff Works. I make another award-winning show called Lore, which is a podcast, book series, and television show, and you can learn all about it over at theworldoflore.com. And until next time, stay curious.